to come into this world of woe to save us from our sins. We're thankful to God for the beautiful day that He's given to us. Isn't it glorious out there, and made all the more glorious in that we are able to come together in this way to worship our majestic, glorious, and awesome God. Thank you for being here, especially if you're visiting with us today. I'm going to talk with you this morning about the subject of lawlessness. And I think that it's a subject that we need to talk about, because I think that in our modern day and age, even among God's people, an appreciation for lawfulness is not what it ought to be. According to ABC News, the new year began in the United States with the implementation of some 40,000 new laws. If we didn't have enough laws already, we got 40,000 new ones in the various states this year. Of course, in Connecticut, they passed a law related to the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre that assault weapons and large capacity magazines bought before April 2013 must now be registered with state authorities. That's probably a law that we might expect. In Colorado, you had the legalization of marijuana, which has been in the news quite a bit lately. There's now, in the state of Delaware, a bigger fine for planning violent flash mobs on social media. So don't do that if you're in Delaware. It's now illegal to sell, distribute, or possess shark fins in the state of Delaware. So if you go to Delaware, make sure you unpack all of your shark fins before you go there. In the state of Illinois, tanning beds are now off limits for teens under the age of 18, even with the permission of their parents. So you can't get a tan in Illinois in a tanning bed. And in California, there's a new law that requires schools to allow transgender students to use the restrooms and play sports on teams according to the gender they identify with. So if you were born a boy and you now say you're a girl, you use the girls' restroom in California if that's what you want to do. A lot of those laws make a little bit of sense. A lot of them make no sense at all. And some of them are not according to the law of God. And that only serves to illustrate that what man defines as lawful often amounts to lawlessness in the eyes of God. Men may say something is okay to do, and you can think of all sorts of things that that would apply to. We have all sorts of laws that allow men to do things that God would call sin. On the other hand, many of the laws of God are not respected by the laws of the land. So what man defines as lawful often amounts to lawlessness in the eyes of God. Of course, when there is a choice between obeying God's law and man's law, we must obey the law of God. That's what Peter said in Acts 5 and verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than man. The business of obeying God involves keeping His laws. It should disturb us mightily, when men do not keep the laws of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 136, the psalmist says, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." We ought to be crying tears of grief that we live in a culture and a society and land where men wholesale do not keep the laws of God. Does that bother you? It ought to. It certainly bothered the psalmist. That leads us to try to understand a little bit about the concept of lawlessness and what that means, the concept that I'm addressing this morning from Scripture. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. Familiar passage to us, I'm sure. Jesus said, as he's winding up really the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." It is not enough to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. It's not enough to mentally assent to his identity as being Christ, the Son of God, and the Lord of all. It's not enough just to confess that. Jesus said you have to do the will of the Father who's in heaven. You must comply, in other words, with his laws. And he goes on to say in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now the King James Version there probably says iniquity. But in many other translations, and I think the most accurate translations, the word is well translated lawlessness. It comes from a Greek word, anomia. Anomia is a compound word. The root part of the last part of the word is nomos, and that just means law. And then it has this prefix, the a or the alpha, which is basically a negative particle. And it means basically the absence of law. We have other words that maybe we're more familiar with. Somebody calls himself an atheist. You put the A in front of the theist. Theist is God. Atheist, A, means no God or without God. So an atheist is someone who doesn't believe in God. We have the word amillennial. Millennial, 1,000 years. Ah, meaning no millennium. Amillennialists don't believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And so you're familiar with that kind of word. Well, anomia means no law. I think it's important to notice that it's not anti-nomia. There is an expression in Greek that's like that. Anti would be against. It's not that Jesus is condemning people for being against the law. He's condemning people who are without law. Let's go a little bit further and understand that law is defined by the dictionary as a rule of conduct or procedure recognized by a community as binding or enforceable by authority. Lawlessness, therefore, is that which is without authority. If you don't have authority for what you're doing, it's lawless. It is without law. Legal means relating to the law. So when we talk about something being legal, we're talking about something in its relationship to the law. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness is sin. If you do something that's outside of God's law, something for which you have no authority, that's the very definition of what sin is. Sin is lawlessness, just stated by John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Now there's a lot of confusion, and some of it among our brethren today, about what the Bible teaches concerning law and its importance, especially as it relates to being saved by grace as opposed to being saved by law, and the question of whether or not legalism is wrong. Now, the dictionary definition of legalism is just strict adherence to the law. There are those who kind of try to redefine that to mean people trying to be saved by law keeping. But as far as the real definition of legalism, as far as I'm concerned, is just strict adherence to the law. It has to do with the opposite of lawlessness. Legalism and lawlessness are opposites, in my view. The legalist wants to adhere to the law, wants to have law for everything, and do whatever is in the law. Lawlessness is characterized by not caring what's in the law and doing that which is without the law. There's been a lot written. It's just ubiquitous on Facebook and other religious kinds of writings that are being done nowadays by various brethren. I've seen several address the topic of legalism, and it always winds up in some big, hairy debate about what that is and what it all means. And so what I'm going to do this morning in this lesson is I'm going to try to approach the topic from maybe the opposite understanding. Because we're having such trouble understanding what legalism is or what lawfulness is or the need to comply with the law of God, seems to me you get in a discussion like that and people start saying, oh, well, you're denying what Paul said in Romans about, we're not saved by law but by grace and all that sort of thing. And they try to get everything all confused. So instead of approaching it from that standpoint this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the other end of it. I'm going to look at what lawlessness is. And I think by the end of the lesson this morning, what you're going to see is lawlessness is something we don't want. And what that means to us, or ought to mean to us, is that lawfulness is something we should want. And we should have an appreciation for, an adherence to, the law of God. My concern is, and I believe it's a valid concern, it's one that's expressed in Scripture over and over and over again, is that the overemphasis of grace leads to lawlessness. For instance, in Jude verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into licentiousness, or lasciviousness, this translation says, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul deals with the same problem in the book of Romans. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, he asks. And so the problem that so many have is God's grace is so wonderful and can forgive us of all of our transgressions. Let's just stay completely focused on God's grace and let's not worry about what the law says. Let's not concern. And what that leads to then is, well, we can just kind of do anything we want. This is precisely where the denominational concept of once saved, always saved comes from. That's an overemphasis on God's grace. It's hyper grace. And so we're not going to pay any attention to the law of God. It doesn't matter anyway. We can do whatever we want regarding the law of God and still go to heaven and be all right because grace is going to cover all of that. And again, scriptures like Jude 4, what Paul has to say in Romans 6, tells us that that's not the proper concept. It's not the proper concept. Anomia, lawlessness, is used exactly 13 times in the New Testament. There are a couple of other related words that are used as well. I'm not going to talk about those this morning. But I want to show you in the context of our lesson this morning, we will look at every occurrence of anomia in the New Testament. We already saw 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is lawlessness. We already saw Jesus condemn those in Matthew chapter 3, and rather Matthew chapter 7 verse 23, because they committed lawlessness. When the New Testament, what the New Testament says about lawlessness is this. Lawlessness condemns men. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 23 again. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In Matthew chapter 13, in verses 41 and 42, as Jesus is explaining the parable of the tares, you remember that parable? Sower goes out to sow seed. An enemy comes at night and sows bad seed in among the good seed. The servants realize it. They want to know what to do. The master says, just let them both grow up until the harvest time. They're harvested. The bad seed, the tares, are taken separately and thrown into a fire, and the good seed is reaped for a good use. In Matthew 13, verse 41, Jesus, in explaining the parable, says, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The promise of Jesus is that those who practice, that is, it is their mode of life, it is the way they live, to do things that are outside the law of God, that are absent of the law of God, those who practice lawlessness will be condemned to eternal punishment. I can't get anything else out of that passage regarding the fate of those who practice lawlessness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, you find that the Lord is going to destroy those who are lawless. The mystery of lawlessness, he says, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. So Paul is talking about some individual, or perhaps one person, or perhaps representative of several individuals, who at that time was perhaps coming into power. That person was going to do some lawless deeds, but he wouldn't be taken out of the way. And for a time, and until he was, the end would not come. But it says in verse 8, this lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So this lawless one, this anomia one, is going to be destroyed. So what the New Testament says about lawlessness is that it condemns one to eternal punishment. The practice of lawlessness condemns one to eternal punishment. Lawlessness corrupts us. It makes us worse spiritually. It defiles us. Jesus compared it to what goes on inside of whitewashed tombs. He says to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23 and verse 28, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And so the comparison here is to some beautiful tomb, and even today you can go walk just right outside Jerusalem along the Kidron Valley and see some tombs that truly do look like small temples. Of course, Jews were not to touch those for fear of becoming ceremonially unclean. And so tombs and tombstones were typically whitewashed so that they would stand out. People could see them. They were very, very, very bright, very, very bright white. So they were whitewashed. So outwardly, not only were the structures often very, very beautiful, but they always had a fresh paint job. And Jesus says, outwardly they appear beautiful. But you know what's going on the inside of a tomb? Rotting corpses. Decay. Ugliness. Jesus says, that's what lawlessness does to you. You without law in the inward man, you're rotten. You're decaying. You're defiled. Jesus said the Pharisees' problem was they looked okay on the outside, but lawlessness was on the inside. And it amounted to corruption. Where lawlessness abounds, love grows cold. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Jesus says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. If you don't care about the law, you don't care about people. You don't care about others. That makes sense when one understands that keeping God's law and obeying His commandments is an exercise of love. Do we understand that? Commandment keeping is an exercise, not in some effort to justify yourself before God, not in some effort to earn your salvation in some way, but commandment keeping is an exercise of love toward God and toward your fellow man. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 15. The Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Commandment keeping is an exercise of love. Lawlessness causes love to grow cold, because lawlessness doesn't keep the commandments. It doesn't obey the law. It's not concerned with that. Lawlessness corrupts. Lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. The more you ignore God's law, the more you do things that are outside the law of God, things for which you have no authority, the more you will ignore God's law. The more you do it, the more you'll do it. It's like, you know, getting that bicycle going downhill. The faster you go, right? Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. The more you sin, the more you sin. The more you do things uncaring about what the law of God says, the more you will do things uncaring about what the law of God says. It perpetuates itself. Lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. Lawlessness is contrary to righteousness. And you see that even in this text in Romans 6. If I could go ahead and read the rest of it. Just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So lawlessness and righteousness, or lawlessness and holiness, are opposite poles. They're opposite directions. When you're headed toward lawlessness, you're going a completely different way than when you're headed toward righteousness and holiness. Lawlessness is contrary to righteousness as much as light is contrary to darkness. The two are complete opposites and cannot exist together. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, another occurrence of this word. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship, what joining, association can lawlessness have with righteousness? You know how he explains that? You know what he parallels it to? The very next line. He says, what communion has light with darkness? Not any. Not any. Righteousness and lawlessness are complete opposites. The Lord hates lawlessness. Hates it, but he loves righteousness. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, much of that chapter is spent showing the superiority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over angels, how much greater he is than the angels. And in that context, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, the writer quotes from the Old Testament, talking about Christ, the coming Christ, where the text says, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." The nature of Jesus Christ himself is to love that which is right, to hate that which is without law. He loves righteousness. He hates lawlessness. Are we trying to be like Christ? Trying to be like Christ? Our lesson last Sunday morning, we talked about trying to be a servant like Christ. What about our mind's attitude concerning what's right and what's wrong? What's according to God's law and what's not according to God's law? Do we love righteousness and hate lawlessness? Or do we have this idea, well, you know, God has this law, but you can just kind of do whatever you want to do and God's grace is going to cover that. Lawlessness can be covered by God's mercy and grace. That's why he gave his mercy and grace. That's why he sent his son to die for our sins, to cover our iniquities, our lawless deeds. But the fact of that sacrifice should not lead us to ignore God's law or to pretend like it's not important. It should rather draw us closer to the law of God and help us be motivated to keep it even more carefully and more strictly. Because surely we see and understand that if Christ died because of our lawless deeds, it is my lawlessness that put Jesus on the cross. And if I care anything about the love that he showed me, the sacrifice that he made on my behalf, I'm going to stay away to eschew lawlessness. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 7 then, the Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered." What a wonderful thing to realize that, yes, I've done things in my life, I've sinned, that are without the law of God. I'm not going to practice those anymore. I may slip up and do those things once in a while, but that's not my practice. I'm not going to practice lawlessness because I appreciate so much what Christ has done for me. And I'm so blessed. Don't you realize that you're so blessed to have those sins forgiven, those lawless deeds covered? That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul, thinking about all that God has done to affect our salvation, his wonderful grace, and our response to it. He says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. See, Christ didn't die to leave us in lawlessness. He died to purify us, to redeem us from lawlessness. That's what Paul says. To buy us back out of lawlessness. To buy us back into a position where we adhere to the law of God and have been forgiven of our past lawlessness. In the new covenant that we enjoy in Jesus Christ, if you have this relationship with God in the new covenant that Christ came to mediate, Romans, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 talks about this. It says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. I'm ashamed to say, and I know all of you who are adults here and thoughtful would say the same thing, that you've committed sins, you've committed lawless deeds. The great message of the gospel, and you have to get the bad news before you get the good news. The bad news is that we're sinners. We have sinned, I should say. And all fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is that he has redeemed us from our lawless deeds. Jesus didn't die to save us in our sins. He died to save us from our sins. And the very notion that a child of God now, someone who has been redeemed from lawlessness, that's what the text says, should be unconcerned about the law of God borders on the blasphemous. We better be concerned about the law of God. It's what made Jesus die on that cross. I don't want to nail him to the cross again. Lack of concern for God's law has serious, serious spiritual consequences. Let us love God's law. And I don't care if somebody wants to call me a lawfulist or a legalist or whatever label they want to put on that. I'm going to love God's law. I'm going to love it because He loves it. I want to live in it. I want to know it. And I want to follow it. I understand I'm going to fall short of it. I have in times past. I will again. But I'm going to love it. Try my best to adhere to it in every aspect of my life, both small and great. We read 13 verses that talk about lawlessness, that talk about those who are without or absent of law. And every last one of them depicts lawlessness in a negative light. So, if being without law is always bad, you don't have to be Solomon to see being with law is always good. I want to be with law. Are you with law this morning? You live in a life that's compliant with the will of God? Have you accepted His grace for times when you fall short and do things not in keeping with His will? God, in His love, has made a way for you to be forgiven of those lawless deeds. But He wants you to appreciate His law. He wants you to strive your best to live in it, to comply with it at every turn. Maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus this morning. Maybe you haven't taken advantage of that sacrifice. He died to redeem you from all of that, to buy you back so you could live in a holy relationship with His Father and according to His will. Would you give yourself to Jesus this morning? Name His name. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And if I'm talking to somebody who's done that, you're a Christian, and yet you have not been really caring about exactly what God wants you to do, really not strictly adhering to that law of His, you need to rethink that and become a lover of His law. We'd ask you to come while we stand, while we sing.